This is a Rooster Teeth production.
How's everybody feel this morning?
I feel good. I feel really good.
You sleep well?
Yeah, well, good enough.
Man.
You didn't?
Nah, it's two nights in a row, the heartburn. I don't ever get heartburn since I quit drinking. And
I thought when you get old that you need very little sleep, so it shouldn't matter.
I mean, I'm functioning okay. It's just like, I'm just uncomfortable.
But, so well, that coffee will help.
I think, I'm hoping that'll help with something else.
So
we'll stop though. Good morning, Gus.
What's the name of the coffee shop we're at today?
I got into a fight with you about this.
Yes,
you and Becca.
That's why I'm asking you.
You and Becca, years ago.
Maybe ask that other dude.
What
is the name of this coffee shop?
I think it's Epoch, but is it supposed to be like epic?
I call it Epoch because that's how you pronounce the word Epoch.
The word you pronounce it is epic.
Well, there's an H, isn't there?
Epic.
I don't know. Why did
you Epoch? What does that have to do with it, whether there's an H or not?
You know what? That's a great...
Long E, short E.
That's a fantastic point, and I hadn't considered that.
Hold on.
Epic.
Oh. But I believe the coffee shop is actually Epoch.
Okay, then so fuck you.
I think the pronunciation of the word is epic, but then, I think the pronunciation of the word is Epoch.
Fuck off.
Thank
you're
you.
Pronouncing
I
it
lost,
wrong with them.
I lost the ability to say fuck you
what?
After I played the definition. Pronunciation.
So we're at Epoch on North Loop.
I had my first minor fear when I got here a little early because I was coming from the office. I had to do some audio. And I had my first minor fear when I thought, this might be the first coffee shop we're going to. Maybe not the first, but it has a lot of locations. And what if we meant different locations?
What? Yeah, yeah.
But then I was like, no. Clearly, we mean this. This is the main one, the first one.
Yeah, this is the one I always think. I know there are others, but I feel like when you say Epoch, it's this one. When you say Epoch on and then a street, it's one of the other ones. Like, that's the way my mind works.
This is definitely like the Epoch that I think of. When I think of Epoch, but I actually go to the one on Far West more often these days.
This one, okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Just because it's nice, and my dog's vet is up there, so I find myself up there a lot. Biederman's Deli is up there.
It's a great deli.
You get a Biederman belly if you eat a pastrami. I said it out loud.
I can't believe you said it out loud.
I said
loud.
It out loud.
I was waiting to see you. I was going to ask what kind of sandwich you
podcast
get.
Podcast crossover.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I got sick on pastrami once.
This place is not too far from the Home Slice where we recorded episode 3. It's just walking distance down the road from here. But this has always been like this has always been a part of Austin that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
This little strip right here of North Loop. Which again, going like circling back to a conversation we had last podcast episode, it stops being North Loop right over there and becomes 53rd Street for no reason.
Yeah, and then it becomes Hancock up there.
Yeah, and then it changes the name right over there again. I don't know. I feel like you and I used to come here a lot, not to the coffee shop necessarily, but there used to be a bar right back, you know, over your shoulder right over there called the Parlor that we used to go to all the time, and we would get pizza at. Now the Parlor is now called Workhorse, and the Parlor moved and is now over off of Guadalupe.
Yeah, it's at like 43rd and Guadalupe,
somewhere
I want to say.
There. Yeah.
And it's weird because that is where I think of the Parlor has been there for at least a decade at this point.
It's been there for probably longer than that.
And it's where when I think of the Parlor, that's what I think of. But you're right. It was here.
We used to come here all the time.
They opened for a while. They were both open, too.
Yeah.
Like you could go to either other. And then this one closed down. And I remember being kind of happy. I liked this one, but it was small.
Yeah.
And the new one has got so much more room.
Yeah.
But then they opened up Workhorse. And there was a period in time when I rented a house in Hyde Park. So I was getting some construction on mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would walk over to Workhorse. I had a little solo routine I would do every Sunday. I would walk over to Workhorse. I would drink 3 beers and watch football on the TV and then walk home. And it was like my Sunday me time. Workhorse pretty good too. They got a good burger.
Yeah,
if you ever eat there,
it's good. But I mean, it makes me think. Like, we used to talk about like as the city has changed over time and as things have changed, there used to be like pockets of the city that you would say like this feels like this area is untouched and unchanged. And only when we're going to decide we're going to do the podcast here, I started thinking about some of these old areas we used to talk about, and I think all of those areas are gone. They've all disappeared, and maybe like the last vestige. Slightly in a way is this little stretch of North Loop over here of like the kind of anti-establishment counterculture feel of Austin.
Yeah.
Of old Austin.
I guess that the places are still there. Pockets are gone, right? I think you're dead on there. And this is, I think, where people, I've read some cynicism from people talking about our podcasts who haven't heard it yet who I think that assume that we're deriding the change in
no,
Austin.
No, God, no.
But not at all. That's part of the fun of this, of wanting to do this podcast. It's been such a wild ride to watch everything happen and to get to be a present for so much change. But I think you have keyed into something. If you come to Austin in 2022 and you hear people talk about the way Austin was in the 90s and the early 2000s, which, by the way, when I came to Austin in the 90s and you came in the 90s, people talked about how the way Austin was in the 70s
yeah,
and 80s.
Yeah.
Right?
It's always been going on.
Yeah, it's been going on forever. So, but this is what they're talking about. Like, yeah. If you come down to North Loop, go to, like, Uncommon Objects or...
That's not here. The North Loop is South Congress.
What's the one here?
There's a room service.
Room service is what I was thinking of. Sorry. Go to room service. Go...
Forbidden Fruit right across the way.
Tigress is a cool place to get a mixed drink.
Yeah.
Workhorse.
Monkey Wrench Books.
Monkey Wrench Books is... Yeah, that's all. That's been around forever.
That's been there for a long time.
That is what, like, a lot of Austin... kind of the aesthetic and feel and kind of vibe a lot of Austin had. I would argue that it also exists in Crestview. I just didn't know Crestview existed until like 5 years ago.
Crestview. Why do you say that? Yeah, where
like little,
Crestview?
Like in Little Deli. Oh,
but that's up like that there. One little shopping center area.
But the neighborhood still has this kind of feel, like overgrown, old, chain-link fenced Austin.
I could definitely see that. So it's funny, you said something there that was something I kind of wanted to bring up as well, where you said, you know, in the 90s, people bitched about how Austin, you know, was different or changed from back in the 80s and the 70s going back. One of the things, I think this is circling back to something we had talked about before, you had said that, you know, we used to go to that barbershop off of Old Torf, there by Old Torf and Congress, and it was like those old dudes bitching about how Austin used to be better in the 60s. So when we went there in the 90s, and they were talking about the 60s, that was 30 years prior, we're here in the 2020s talking about the 90s. It's like we're encompassing that same amount of time change that those old dudes were talking about. Jeff's head is in his hands now. We're like the time that has moved. Like, we have achieved that status that you talked about, being those old dudes at the barbershop.
Dude, that makes you feel incredibly old, but B, slightly worse than that. I saw on Twitter yesterday, a friend posted that us talking about 80s movies now is the same as our parents talking about Casablanca when we were kids. Like, in the 80s, it was, 40 years ago was the 40s, and now we're in 2020 talking about 80, like E.T.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Casablanca Maverick this weekend. It's gonna really be great.
I'm excited.
it's funny how that changes. Like, the scope, when you're young and you think back a couple of decades, it seems like ancient history. And then you get a little older and you think back a couple of decades, you're like, oh, that was just like a couple of years ago. So the audio texture for this episode is going to be a little different than previous ones. I don't know if that picked up on the mic, but Epic itself, it's North Loop isn't a busy street, but the patio area is really close to North Loop, but there's a lot of people there. So we came to some picnic tables that are out, like, kind of next to a cemetery and next to like an overgrown canal that may or may not have water in it. So it's going to be a lot more rustic of a audio texture this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a dude doing some sort of needle drugs over there on the other side of that too.
He went over there.
So
he didn't want to listen to us talk about stuff from 20 years ago.
He's like, guys, come on, I'm trying to get high over here.
I don't
need to just walk down memory lane.
The coffee here is good. So Epic is great because, first of all, they're back to this now, but they're open 24 hours again. You know, pre-pandemic, they used to be open 24 hours. Yeah. During the pandemic.
Done a late night one.
No, I'm not doing a late night one.
Oh, okay. I'll do it.
During the pandemic.
That doesn't help if he's not going to do it.
Look at him.
They restricted the hours. But for some reason, Austin has this problem where you can't drink the water about every 2 years or so.
Yeah.
Where like a water factory fails or something. But when that happens, Epic will still sell you coffee. They're friends with a brewery over here at Airport that has like industrial water boilers. Mm-hmm. So when the rest of the city can't get water, Epic can still get water from this brewery right around the corner over here on Airport. So you can still, if there's no water in Austin, you can still get coffee at Epic.
Yeah. I also, like, at the early on in the pandemic, you could buy like a milk jug full of coffee from them too. I would get like cold brew from them.
The can't drink the water in Austin thing, I'd never experienced. Can't drink the water because something happened to it. Never experienced until I moved here. Mm. Is that like You guys have lived here for long consistent. Enough. Is that pretty consistent? Like, and they just don't do anything about it to make it better?
It happens.
Like, no, it doesn't.
So the other thing that happens sometimes is the water will get stinky. Have you been here for that yet?
Yeah, zebra mollusk.
Is that the zebra mollusk thing? Yeah. I've heard about it.
Yeah, like, it's like, the water smells bad. And the city has to make a statement that's like, don't worry, the water smells bad, but you can drink it. Like, well, no, I'll wait. I'll buy a bottle of water for a day or two.
I feel like, I've been here like 25-ish years or whatever, 27 years. I feel like every 3 years or so, you got to boil your water.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah, the infrastructure, I think that's just a side effect of the growth, right? Like, the infrastructure can't keep up with the amount of growth that the city's been having. I think the most obvious sign of that is, you know, driving and the infrastructure where traffic is spotty. Like, it's consistent, but you never know. Like, oh, all of a sudden, it's there for no reason. We're just stopped, and it's going to take a long time to get wherever you go. You and I used to say, Jeff, that the sign of being a local in Austin was knowing how to get where you were going without taking 35.
Yeah.
Like, back in the old pre-GPS days, it's like you're going from point A to point B. It's like, how can I get there without getting on 35?
Or Mopac.
Yeah, as efficiently as possible, and just, like, learning all the surface streets and the roundabout ways to get where you needed to go, which... inevitably, we're faster than taking the stupid-ass 35.
Do you want to hear some facts, a little bit of trivia about Epoch that I remember to be true but probably isn't?
Absolutely.
Wow, we got Epoch facts.
I got Epoch facts. I just popped it in my head.
Can we have like a special song, like a segment intro? Right.
Dennis put together a special song for Epoch facts.
No, it could be coffee shop facts in general, but coffee this particular one is Epoch facts.
Coffee facts.
I remember that years and years and years ago, that Epoch was opened by a group of people, and that there was some sort of a falling out, and one of those people left and started Binu, and that's how Binu.
Oh, really?
And that's why it's 24 hours a day as well. Oh. Like, it basically recreated Epoch over on the east side as Binu.
I didn't know that.
Well, you might not have known that because it's not true. I just remember that being something someone told me.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
I've accepted as fact.
There's no way. There's no way to verify
years.
That.
Yeah.
If I'm looking away from you, Jeff, while you're talking, it's because I'm making sure there's not a snake behind me. Because every now and then I hear something sounds like
I'm
a snake.
I'm looking for you, dude. I'm
like right up against a bunch of vegetation.
I don't know if a snake could get past the empty pack of watermelon grape swishers. Ooh. So I mean, that's pretty tough. And the McDonald's bag, we should be okay.
Okay, we're good. We got a perimeter set up. The Lipton brisk over there is taking up the flank. Do you know any other Epoch facts?
Epoch facts. What I do know a little bit about the cemetery, though.
Oh, yeah. So this is the Austin State Hospital Cemetery. It's it's between 51st and North Loop here in Austin.
Used to be open to the public, but I feel like it's always shut now. I feel like you used to be able to just walk in there.
I didn't know that.
What? Yeah. There used to just be a chain link fence and it would open. And then you just like, I'd walk around while you drink coffee back in the day. Maybe that's why it's secure now. Maybe you were never supposed to, but I think it was.
Wow.
I think that there are not a lot of headstones there, but I believe there are many, many, many people buried.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unmarked graves there. This was the cemetery for the Austin State Hospital, which is down the road, not too far from here, when people, were committed probably back in the early 1900s and had no family or nobody who was looking out for them, like no support system. And I think they're... when they passed away, they would just throw them in the ground over here.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a.
Oh my God.
I read the number once, and it's like a shockingly large number of burials in that plot.
Yeah.
Way more than you would think, and it's. I don't know. I think it's messed up that it seems like it's dilapidated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like this really crappy chain link fence on this side, which, you know, obviously whatever, we're up against the vegetation, you can't see it. But when you drive by on the street, it's also like really run down, and like there's on the 51st side over there, I can see from here, there's like these stone columns that are mostly knocked over. There's like one left standing from, I guess, what used to be the fence way back when. Yeah, that's a really uplifting cemetery facts for this episode of Ranma.
I didn't know that it was a cemetery. Like, when I moved here, I would drive by it all the time. I didn't know it was a cemetery. I just never kind of like realized. I just went, wow, what a weird plot of land. And then sort of looked closer while driving and went, got it.
Yeah, our studio is not too far down the road from here. Just 2 miles maybe down the road in east of here.
I'm sure we've all searched for stuff online that we, you know, we're a little embarrassed about, you know, that we wouldn't maybe necessarily want other people to know about. I know what you're thinking. Why don't you just use incognito mode? Well, let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. Doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browsing history. Your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why even when I'm at home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. Doesn't matter who your ISP is. Internet service providers in the U.S. can legally sell your information to ad companies, and ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure server so your ISP cannot see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Most of the time, don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on. Runs seamlessly in the background, so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and boom, you're protected. ExpressVPN is available on all your devices, phones, computers, even your smart TV. There's no excuse for you not to be using it. So protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by Business Insider. Visit our exclusive link, which is expressvpn.com/anma. You can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/anma. expressvpn.com/anma to learn more.
I had a frustrating Texas state hospital experience not too long ago.
Texas State Hospital.
Or the Austin State, whatever that, we were just talking about.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Austin State Hospital.
Austin State Hospital.
Well, is the Austin State Texas Cemetery. I don't know what the hospital's called anymore.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
We filmed there sometimes in the basement for different stuff.
Yeah.
In the past. They had a call out on social media like maybe a year ago. They were low on shoes. They needed shoes for people that, you know, are there. And so they were accepting donations. And I had just come off of this addiction to Vans. And so I had like 40 pairs of shoes I was not going to wear.
It's a lot of shoes.
So I donated like 20 pairs of shoes. And I just threw them all in HEB bags. And I took them. And they said, just like bring them up to the security gate or whatever and we'll accept them. And so I was like, I'm going to be a responsible citizen. I'm going to do that. I got a ton of shoes I'm not wearing. And I took them to the lady that was working security there, and she's like, what are these? And I go, oh, these are the shoes. And she's like, I see that. What am I supposed to do with them? And I was like, well, you guys were requesting shoes to be donated, and so I'm donating shoes for the people that are here. And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And
great.
I'm like,
cool.
Today's the last day. You've been accepting shoe donations for like 4 days. Today is the final day I can donate. And she's like, I don't know. Just leave them on the street. And I was like, on the street? And she just had me leave them on the street.
Wow.
In HEB bags next to her. And so I assume that that's where they still are. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, it was frustrating.
They belong to the city now.
Well, I mean, they would have if he actually gave them the hospital. No, they belong
to the
streets.
State.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's a different levels of government. That's really frustrating.
Wait, okay. You said that you filmed in the basement? What is this?
So the state hospital, yeah, it's like, it's one of a couple of the buildings are super, super old. And so when we were filming our ghost hunting show, we would do like the first portion of it was like a campfire scene where we would tell the ghost stories around the campfire and then we would reenact them kind of like drunk history. Mm-hmm. And so we filmed some scary stuff in the basement there. And I know way back in the day we filmed some stuff. Like I remember Joel filmed some stuff there.
Yeah, and, it's funny, like these state-run facilities. There's a few of them around town. There's another one. I don't know if you know the one over there, like off of Mopac and 35th. Like it's just south of Camp Mabry.
No.
It's like if you're heading south, it's on the southwest corner, just west of Mopac, just south of 35th. There's like a little facility back over there.
Okay.
Surprised you don't know about it. Anyway, we filmed a little bit back there too. We did a Fallout video years ago, and we had to try to recreate a post-apocalyptic room, like a post-apocalyptic house, and just one of the buildings there looked like it hadn't been touched in 60 years.
Oh,
like paint peeling off the walls, like ceilings collapse, like an environment you would see in Fallout. And it's just shocking. Like you drive by and you look at the outside, like, all right, whatever, it's just some brick building. And you walk in and you're like, oh my God, this building has not been touched in decades. Like, I don't know if anybody's been in here. And it's just shocking that these buildings can get so dilapidated. At least the one over here, I think the one you're talking about, is being renovated. Like they're updating it. It's been under construction for a year or two. But that other one I'm sure they have other buildings that are fine. The one at 35th and Mopac. Just that one building we filmed in at least was, if you go back and watch the video, like you'll see, it's like, oh man, we didn't do anything to stage that. We just walked in. You're like, perfect. Yeah. Let's turn the camera on. Let's film.
It's like we need a dark basement with 100 old hospital beds dilapidated in a pile and one doll with one arm and a missing eye. Oh, no, we're good.
Yeah. Oh, you don't need to bring anything? We just show up. Okay, cool. Great. All set. Yeah, but it's funny, like, how even just, like, you scratch beyond the surface of a building or of a place, like, what you can find, what if, you know, when you go in there, when you look around. I love stuff like that. Like, stuff, it's almost like hidden in plain view.
Yeah.
If you just, like, investigate a little bit more and see what you can find.
I'm going to have to drive over south of Camp Mabry.
Yeah.
But west of Mopac.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen it.
It's
probably just like a blind spot for you. Like, you see it. I'm sure if you go over there now and look, you're like, oh yeah, this place. Just like,
I probably assumed it was part of Camp Mabry.
Yeah,
maybe
your brain just like blocks it out. Like, what? Like, it's not open. Since it's not open to you, it's not a place you can normally go. It's like, whatever. It's just whatever's there. But that whole area is kind of weird. I feel like there's like around that Camp Mabry area specifically. Like, when you come off of 45th westbound and you hit. Just west of Mopac, and you hit Camp Mabry, you know, you can either turn left to get onto Mopac or turn right there. And if you turn right, you go around, like, you drive on that road for a long way, and then you come into this weird neighborhood that seems like it's recessed. Like, it seems like it would be a cool neighborhood, but it seems like a giant pain in the ass to get in and out of.
Okay.
Like, there's only that one bottleneck to get in and out of the entire neighborhood. You're like, oh, if I'm going to go to the grocery store, oh, that's 25 minutes, you know, each way to get to and from there, despite the fact you live pretty close to the center of Austin. I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I guess there's a Randall's over there.
There's that Randall's on Exposition, like Exposition just south of 35th by... What's the cross street there? Westover? Somewhere over there. That'd be about it.
Do you feel like stuff... It was fine. It was built that way 20 years ago or whatever, just with like the population. Because you guys lived like... You know, you said, like, out here was like, oh, man, this is, like, so far
yes,
out
it's far.
From, like, originally from, like, where you lived and everything. But at the time, like, it was, like, those probably didn't feel like bottlenecks and everything, right? Like, that's just the way that stuff was built, and who cares?
There was no such thing as traffic.
Right.
I mean, there was.
It was the 90s.
It wasn't
really.
Terrible.
Yeah. It existed in the opening scene of Office Space.
That's what I was going to reference. We used to do this thing. We had a bowling league, and... This is going back to the call center. Since it was a 24-hour call center, a lot of people would get off at midnight. Like, midnight's when the night shift started. Well, the overnight shift started. So, like, a lot of people would get off at midnight, and there used to be a bowling alley up off of, like, 35 and Runberg. And the call center was down, like, off of Ben White and 35. And, you know, when we would get off of work at midnight, like, a bunch of us would be like, let's go bowling. And we'd drive, you know, up to Runberg and 35 because you're like, dumb 20-year-old. You're like, I could either go to sleep or I could go drive all the way across Austin and go bowling. And so, like, we would all get together and go up there and go bowling, have a few beers, whatever. And it was a lot of fun. We did that for a long time until Jeff showed up.
What?
Because then when Jeff got hired, he wanted to hang out. You know, like he had talked about in a previous episode.
I wanted to make friends. I wanted to be friends.
Yeah, make his way in. So he was like, oh, he drops this bomb on us. He's like, I used to bowl. Like, semi-professionally. And you're like, oh, you should come bowling with us, Jeff. So then the first time Jeff showed up to our bowling night, he showed up with, like, that glove that professional bowlers wear.
Awesome.
He showed up with his own ball and his own shoes.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And we were like, oh, shit. And then he fucking destroyed everyone there. And then was like, man, yeah, this sucks. And no one ever went bowling again. Jeff showed up once to our bowling night and destroyed it. Like, a years-long tradition... Instantly destroyed by Jeff.
I hate bowling.
What?
I hate it. I hate it so much. What? You ever been good at something but not as good as you want to be and it makes you hate that thing? That was me in bowling. And when I decided that it was no longer going to be a part of my life, I left it in the rearview mirror. Very far in the rearview mirror. I only even attempted to bowl because I was so desperate for friends. And then I remember the night. I did terribly to me.
You still destroyed us, right? We're all just like, we just want to hang out and have a few beers.
Only threw a 225.
No, that's dog like, shit. I was bowling like 170s or something. And I was just like miserable. And I was like, why the it's not worth it. Friends aren't worth it. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
He was so dour and upset and mad.
I had zero joy for bowling.
And he brought down everyone's night. There were like 10 of us hanging out and nobody had a good time because Jeff was having a bad time.
Like a mood vampire. I apologize.
So not much has changed, but so do you bowl now?
No.
At all?
No.
But you're good at it. You have a glove and a ball and you don't bowl?
Not anymore. I threw all that shit away eventually. I got sick of moving it around.
You gave it to the state hospital?
Yeah, I gave it to the state hospital.
You really don't bowl at all?
No, I haven't bowled in, I don't know, 15 years maybe.
How did, so But you're good. Like, you're good enough.
I grew
up,
my parents were in bowling leagues. I joined a bowling league when I was like 14. And then I bowled every Saturday and I think Wednesday until I graduated high school. I went to like state tournaments and shit in the summers.
You're learning something about Jeff, aren't you?
Yeah. And then, I mean, I don't want to be, rude, but the realization came from, bowling first off made me frustrated because it's like in your head, you know what to do and you tell your body what to do. And then your body usually does it, but sometimes it doesn't. And it's like, why? I didn't tell you to do that. Like, why? That makes no sense. That's not the negotiation that I had with you, arm. But in addition to that, I was like 17 or 18 when I was coming out of it. And I just like, I saw the people that I was like, I just didn't want to be a part of that family anymore. Does that make sense? I just didn't want to be a part of the bowling family anymore. That's not how I wanted to spend my nights and weekends.
Wow.
And to get really good at it, I'd have to commit more time. And it would have been more time around people I didn't want to spend time with and doing something that genuinely made me mad at myself. Like, a lot of seething inner rage. Hey,
no, it came out that night. Yeah. No, we felt it. We all were there. We saw it firsthand.
Yeah, I hate it.
But, I mean, that just goes to show, going back to, like, how the reason I bring that up was, like, going back to, like, how light traffic was back then. Like, I can't imagine any time of day now. Well, I guess maybe, like, in the 4 a.m. driving from, like, Ben White up to Runberg. That what used to be the bowling alley is now a school. It's like a private school. I don't know if you've ever driven by there now.
Really?
Yeah, they converted it to, like, some private school up there. Like, the building's still there. They just, like, took the sign down and repainted it.
That's funny.
And now it's a school. Yeah, it was Showplace Lanes is what it was called.
Showplace Lanes.
Yeah, that place closed 15 years ago or something.
You know what's sad? It's also sad that Dart Bowl closed.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's not too far from, or it wasn't too far from here.
Yeah, it's right next to the high school. And I always felt like I discovered Dart Bowl too late.
Mm.
I think it's like middle of neighborhoods. Like, yeah. You gotta know it's there.
Yeah.
And they had such a good restaurant.
Yeah.
And I didn't discover it until like maybe, it was one of those things where I didn't find it until like 3 or 4 years ago. It was probably the first time I went just to eat lunch there.
And it was like right before they closed.
And it was right, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
I think I probably went because they were like, Dart Bowl's in danger of closing. I got to go check it out before it's gone.
Yeah. Now it's gone. There's not many bowling places left. There's like Highland Lanes over there.
Yeah.
God, where else? If you wanted to bowl, is that the only place you could bowl?
There must be other bowling.
There must be, but I can't think of it. You know, it's funny because we have a friend who used to complain. I don't know if you remember this. Who used to complain that all the batting cages in Austin were gone. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like,
they are.
Yeah, like back in there used to be one close to the call center back over there, like at Ben White and 35,
uh-huh.
And then that one closed like in 99 or 2000. And he would just complain nonstop. Like, now you got to drive to like San Marcos for batting cages because they're all gone.
You do. You have to go so far north. You have to take like 130. They're like not around. It's like you have to go up towards like Del Diamond to go to
like,
one.
They take up a lot of space and they probably don't generate a lot of revenue.
I guess, but like you would think that an old building would just have some batting machines in it and like some nets and it's like, let me pay you quarters to hit baseballs.
Quarters, there you go.
Yeah.
What I'm sensing is opportunity.
I suppose so, but then that's a lot of work to open a batting cage for something I just want to do passingly.
What if instead of quarters we charge Bitcoin and we'll be billionaires?
Or broke as fuck.
You ever heard of a Bitcoin batting cage?
God, it would be huge every South by Southwest. Just open it up for a week in March.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What
was the first year you went to South by Southwest?
What a great segue. the first year I went to South by Southwest, it probably wasn't until we started doing this. So it probably would have been like 04 maybe,
okay.
05, something like that. What about you? You probably went way before me.
I think my first year was 96,
mm-hmm.
But that was just for music, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was just a music festival to me back then. I assumed that the other shit was there too. I just wasn't
Keyed
into it. Yeah. And so I just remember cause it was 96. There was a band I wanted to see. And I think it was a band called Less Than Jake. And it was $36 for a wristband. And I remember thinking, like, I'm going to pay $36 to see one band play. Like, this is wild. And I ended up going to a bunch of other shows. But, yeah, the idea that a wristband, I remember having to kind of scrounge for the money.
How much is a music wristband now? Like, $1,000?
$1,200, I think. Yeah. The equivalent of what I had then is over $1,000.
It's interesting to me, like, thinking about that time frame that you're talking about here, like, late 90s, 96. You know, these days, everyone's talking about, I don't want to get like too downer on this podcast, but we already talked about a cemetery. you know, everyone's talking about, you know, the p- the recession, how's the economy doing? And I feel like, you know, we've lived through a couple here in Austin, like a couple of busts, right? And the first one I remember living through would have been like the dot-com bubble bursting in the late 90s. And it's funny because I was driving around and I was thinking about this past weekend about how it seemed in the mid to late 90s, everyone was like, this is it. Austin's going to explode. It's going to be like kind of like the talk they're having now, like the next San Francisco, like next tech hub, big innovation, all these, you know, big things were happening. And then the dot-com bubble burst. And it was like, for a brief period of time, it was almost like a ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, that's when the skyline you see now, like all of that construction really started. Well, it hadn't quite started, but some of it had started at that point. And I remember that these companies that had attached their name to buildings, that these companies no longer existed. Wow. So like, they couldn't finish. There was a period of time where there were unfinished buildings in Austin. There was one building down off of Cesar Chavez where they only had the money to finish the exterior. So again, going back to like what we talked about the hospital, if you looked at the building from the outside, it looked fine. But if you went up to a window and looked in, it was all like dirt floors and like bare walls because they didn't have any money to finish it. And like they had laid everyone off. So like these companies didn't need these buildings anymore. So they were just like shells. Intel had started building a building down on 5th Street. They put up like the structural beams for it about like 6 or 7 stories up and then stopped. And it was just like this bare building for 8 years maybe?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, and that was just like left there that eventually they had to demolish. And it was weird where it's like, oh shit, like is this it? Is Austin over? Like did we put too much money in this tech thing and now it's not panning out and now like the whole city's going to contract?
Yeah, that Intel building was kind of like a big monument to our hubris for a brief period of time, it felt like. And we just had to look at it for years and years and years. And I remember, do you remember that they would, I don't know if it was for a long time, but they started doing aerial dancing there from like, they had people like, they used the structure to have people like dance from ropes and cables and shit, which they still do at Seaholm sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is very neat. Yeah, dude, that's wild. I forgot about that building. I remember when they imploded it. It was fucking loud.
Yeah, it was really loud. And it wasn't that long. I want to say they imploded it 2009, 2010.
Wow,
it was there for a long time.
That's crazy. That's a really long time.
It was there for a really long time.
Wow.
That building was just there. It's where the federal courthouse is now.
Yeah.
Over there kind of by like Republic Park. That's where that changed. It used to be over there.
I got to say, that federal courthouse, I remember when, you know, I lurk in some skyscraper forums.
Yeah.
I have for a very long time. And I remember when the plans for that came out, and it was one of the ugliest looking sets of blueprints I've ever seen, and nobody was happy about it. And then that building got built, and it's actually quite striking.
I think the biggest complaint I have about it, you're right, it looks fine.
Yeah.
It just seems like, what else could it have been other than a federal courthouse?
For sure. Especially like wrapped around that park, and like, yeah, there was a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah, it's fine. I wish, even if they had extended the park or made, you know, a more welcoming public space. But I get it. Whatever. They need to have courthouse to make money off of the putting people in jail or whatever. So you do you.
Oh, man. We were talking about South By earlier and that, like, those early 90s South By. That reminded me, that show I went to was at the Back Room. It was the first time I'd ever been to the Back Room.
Oh, God.
That's a piece of Austin history right there.
That was off of Riverside.
It's Emo's now.
Okay, yeah.
Mm. But there was this heavy metal bar called the Back Room, Eric. You'd probably like it. Mm. So if you wanted to see, like, I don't know, like, one night it would be like deathcore or grindcore band. And the next night it would be like a metal band. The next night it would be like a skinhead oi band. And it was just like, it'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go there see the Business tonight. And then tomorrow night it's like, I don't know, Megadeth or some shit. Not that big, but you know, Killswitch Engage or like one of those bands. And but the thing that was crazy about that bar, I was amazed it lasted as long as it did because there was a pool hall side on the left. Like the bar was split. You walk in the front door, you go to the right, you go to this very dark, rundown club where you'd see bands.
I remember it being very narrow too.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was just my. It's just that's just my memory.
And then to the left, you would go, and it's a pool hall like traditional bar. And on Friday nights, they would have 10-cent well drinks till like 11 p.m.
Are you serious?
Yeah, till like 10 or 11 p.m.
What year was this?
Oh, it was 97, 98.
Oh, my God.
So you would go there, and there would be a bunch of like metal necks, as we used to call them, like redneck metal dudes seeing a band play and getting fucking hammered. And then on the other side, you would just have the people that show up to get drunk for 10 cents a drink. And so it'd be a lot, like a lot of gangs and then a lot of just like really sketchy, unsavory dudes. And there was always a fight. Like it was
we used to wonder, like, is the police going to have to roll the SWAT team to break up a riot at the back room this weekend? Like, it was so regular.
I got caught in a riot there. I was seeing this band called the Cro-Mags play.
Oh, hell yeah.
And there was another band that was opening for them who were like friends of friends, and they were staying at my house. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like in the parking lot after the show, and some dude walked by with a Rebel Flag belt buckle on. And it started a fight with some of the dudes that were hanging out there. And then it turned onto a full-blown, like, 40 people fighting in the street. Nobody knew who was fighting who or why. And I was just, like, standing there like, I ain't get the fuck out of here. Yeah. I saw a cop run up and mace two girls in the face shove them off, like, a loading dock.
Wow.
And they just fucking ate shit. Yeah. It was brutal. It was getting bad. And I was like, I grabbed the friends and we got the fuck out of there. But that's what that place was like all the time. We have a friend who...
I was going to tell that story.
You tell it.
I have a friend named Jacob. Really nice guy. And
really nice guy.
Yeah, super nice. He was going to a show at the back room one time. He worked at the call center too. That's how we knew him.
He's 18 at this point, by the way.
He's going to a show at the back room. And he goes in and, you know, they're checking his ID at the door. They're going to put the X's on his hands because he's under 21, so he can't drink. And he says that, you know, as he's handing over his ID to the bouncer, someone just, like, sucker punches him.
What?
It was worse than that.
Oh, no, you're right. Someone took a beer bottle and shoved it into his mouth, like, neck first into his mouth. He said it chipped one of his molars. He, like, bent over, you know, obviously because it's, like, unexpected. He's, like, spitting out parts of his teeth and beer, and, like, the bottle falls out of his mouth. He looks up, and the dude who shoved the bottle into his mouth is knocking out the bouncer. The bouncer falls down.
Oh, my God.
And, the riot starts at that moment.
Yeah. He's just, like, literally walking in, an 18-year-old kid to go to a punk show, and, like, opens a door, gets his front teeth knocked out, his molar cracked. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It was that kind of place.
You knew it couldn't last forever. It was just a matter of when that era was going to end.
Yeah. Man, the background, I thought about that place in forever. I used to live, like, right down the street over there, man. There was, like, that real shitty apartment.
That was you? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was
your wet apartment and your crooked apartment were both pretty close.
Yeah, but I remembered something else. I'm sorry to, like, step back here. Talking about, like, recession and, like, plans changing and, like, the city undergoing, like, this threat of irrelevance.
Sure.
They built, I'm sure you remember, they built that condo downtown, or it's apartments, whatever it is, the Plaza. It's like over there, what is it, like Guadalupe and 4th or something?
Mm-hmm.
And they built it, and, you know, it's whatever. It's kind of a boring building. And they built one side with no windows. It was just like flat wall, because the plan was there was going to be another building built, like another high-rise built right next to it immediately. And they were like, well, there's no point putting windows on that side because there's going to be a building there. Except that building fell through during the dot-com bubble burst. So you were left with this building with one brick side for
a decade.
Longer than a decade, 15 years, where it was just like, well, that's a really shitty, boring-looking building there because it's just like entirely brick on one side.
Yeah.
It's on the east side, east-facing side of that building.
It's like a tan brick building. I want to say, was that where they, remember there was that place called, what was it called?
The Fox and the Hound?
I was thinking of the Fox and the Hound, but also the other place, too.
Oh.
The beer place with the fallen over dude.
Yeah.
It's still around.
Wow, I can't remember. It was right across the street from there, yeah.
Yeah. So we cut all this out of it.
The Gingerman.
The Gingerman. Gingerman.
God.
It stays in.
And I feel like Fox and the Hound and Gingerman were bars we went to. Not all the time. We had a friend that liked them a lot.
Yeah, we had mutual friends who liked going over there.
Yeah, Gus and I were all... I feel like we had very similar tastes for bars, and we were very particular, and we had our spots we liked to go to. And if left to our own devices, we had our, like, three places we wanted to go. But we always ended up going places with other people. Mm. And anyway, I remember those... I feel like those bars all got bulldozed in that or something similar, and then they never... Like, it was one of those things where they had to tear the bar down to put a high-rise, and then just nothing happened.
Yeah, I think eventually, years... I think there's something there now.
Yeah.
But I think it was years later. Like, I think, if I remember right, and I could be way off here, I want to say the Fox and the Hound and Gingerman were both kicked out because they were going to bulldoze it. Then plans changed, and I think a Waterloo Ice House went in there for a while, for a couple of years. And then eventually they finally did actually end up bulldozing it, and that's when Waterloo Ice House had to vacate there. Again, it's been a few years. I could be remembering the timeline wrong on that.
What is the... I feel like this episode's a little all over the place, but I'm having fun with it. Yeah. What is the one restaurant that you used to eat at that you miss that's gone now? Like a relic of the past. Does anything jump to mind?
There's a couple that jump to mind, but it's going to be like... I hate myself for saying them because it's like hipster douchebag Austinite who hates change answers.
Sure.
I used to like eating at the Holiday House, but that's long gone.
That's before... Yeah, I never been there.
There was one... The last one I want to say was... I think it was over on Exposition. It might have been open when you were here in the late 90s, but I think I want to say it closed like 99 or 2000. This is a recent one. They didn't close that long ago. Shady Grove.
I love Shady Grove.
I always like going down to Shady Grove. They closed like last year.
You know the problem with Shady Grove? The only problem with Shady Grove is, Eric, they used to have this thing called Frings. French fries and right. onion rings, right? Everybody's heard of Frings. But they had the best onion rings on the fucking planet. And at some point... they changed their recipe.
Yeah, they did.
And those onion rings became a different onion rings, and it spoiled. It kind of killed it for me. Although their Airstream chili was really good.
It was. So you said something that made me think of another restaurant I haven't thought about in years.
Okay.
You said Frings, and it made me think about Shaggy's Fries down on South Congress. And I missed Shaggy's, which was a Jamaican place, which became... Is it still South Congress Cafe?
Yeah, I think so. Shaggy's Boombastic is what it was called.
Nice. You could get... like jerk fries, and they put like jerk seasoning on fries. It was so good.
And it was open late, so it was like a bar restaurant.
And it was when South Congress was still real shitty, so you get like a huge basket of jerk fries for like $3 or something.
Yeah, we were talking about a little bit. The last episode or a previous one, we were talking about that area and Austin Motel and kind of how it all revitalized. And I forgot to mention that I stayed in the Austin Motel time in 1994. It was when I was in the Army. We were going to Corpus for the weekend, and we stopped in Austin for the night on the way down.
You barely made any progress.
It's like an hour and a half down, but it was like after work, and we wanted to like hang out in Austin. Yeah. So we spent the night at the Austin Motel, which was like $35. And there was prostitutes and this is like 94, there were still like prostitutes opening doors when you pulled in, and it was still, it was a very different place back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just drove down South Congress this past weekend, and it's like all luxury stores and throngs of tourists. Tesoro's is closing. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that.
After like 33 years of being in business, they announced that they're closing, I think at the end of this month.
You know, they used to be on Congress.
Yeah, this is South Congress. Tesoro's.
Oh, wait, no, I mean... further, they used to be up where the Mexicart Museum is now, like at 4th in Congress, or 3rd in Congress.
Oh, were they there?
Yeah, they were there, and then they moved down to South Congress.
Oh, you're right.
Years and years,
yeah,
and years ago.
God. I forgot about that. I think I was working downtown at that other company when they were down there, like back late 90s, maybe. I want to say I remember them being over there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of stuff right there in that area that also got bulldozed for other buildings and high rises, like lots of like little restaurants that are just gone forever. What about you? You didn't answer. What restaurants do you miss?
I was headed towards Shaggy's when you got there. Although supposedly there's a bar on Weberville called Cavalier, and supposedly they have the recipe for the fries. I just haven't tried them.
Mm. Yeah.
But supposedly it's like the same family that owns Shaggy's owns Cavalier, or like family lineage, and so they have the recipe.
Are these Fry Facts?
These are Fry Facts.
Okay, cool.
Don't confuse them with
Coffee Facts.
This is not Epoch Facts or anything else. These are distinct facts. No. I appreciate the insight. I got to try. Did we try to go there once? And it was
they were like not open for lunch or something.
Yeah,
when we went.
Oh, we'll get around to it eventually. There's so many places, and like things change, and I can't keep up. I felt like there was a time where you and I used to talk about how we knew almost every bar and every restaurant in town, and you know, could pick the right thing for any moment. I'm so disconnected now. Everything has changed so dramatically and is constantly changing so much. I can't keep up.
Well, that's part of the reason for this podcast, right?
Yeah.
To send off the old places, but discover the new ones together, maybe. Because I'm in the exact same boat where it's just like, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess just from the pandemic, but also from just like insane growth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We'll have to expand. You know, once we hit a few more coffee shops, I think we have to expand to try some of like these other restaurants to go get these jerk fries. And we got to go to like Casino. That seems like a good spot. Like, yeah. We have to just like go to like some of these other spots, right?
Casino's got like that little courtyard in the backyard, yeah. in the backyard. Where we could record.
I don't think I've been to a Casino El Camino since I went with one or both of you. So I would love to go back. I can't remember how long
I haven't been there in years.
Probably since like an RTX when
RTX
you were in
with
town.
Like Mega 64. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's when we went. We sat in the courtyard in the back.
Yeah, I think we touched on this in a previous episode, but we used to go down like multiple times a week down to like
6 days
Street.
A week.
Yeah, and I can't imagine doing that anymore. But there was a point in time where I think we went to almost every bar on 6th Street. Like we come down here often enough. It's like, let's try to experience every place just to see what's out here. You don't know. Like you might every day you might walk by your new favorite place and not realize it. So we tried to like hop into every place we could, and I don't think it's there anymore. There used to be a place down there called the Daiquiri Factory, which was just like the name implies. Like you walk in, and it's just like a huge wall of daiquiri machines. You tell them what you want.
Very New Orleans.
Not our scene, but in the spirit of we're going to try every place down here. We went to the Daiquiri Factory once, and I think Jeff and I walked in, and we instantly knew like this isn't our place. This isn't us.
And they knew too.
Yeah. And if I remember right, I want to say like they even had like a hostess who met us at the door and like took us to a table, and then like a waitress came out to like take our order and stuff, and you know the waitress came and took our order and walked away, and Jeff and I like looked at each other like, yeah, this place isn't for us, and she came back with our drinks, and I don't know what possessed Jeff to say it, but like the waitress puts our drinks down, and Jeff looks at her and goes, hey, just so you know, when she sat us down, the hostess was talking shit about you. The waitress put our drinks down, then threw her tray on the ground, like, and said, "That bitch," made a beeline for the hostess stand. And I was just like, "Jeff, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here."
I stumbled into boyfriend drama, is what it was. I remember, like, her boyfriend was a soccer player at the school, at wherever they went to school, St. Ed's or something. And there was, like, I stepped in as a joke, and we stepped in hockey or soccer boyfriend drama, and we got the fuck out of there.
Oh, my God. What Man. The fuck?
That was the one and only time I ever went to the Daiquiri Factory. I don't even remember what daiquiri I ordered.
Well, if you're going to go once, you got to make it count. I felt like that side of 6th Street was always lost on us. The people that go to like Maggie Mae's and Pete's Peanut
Bar. We had a friend who liked going to Maggie Mae's.
We did.
And so I went a few times because of him, but yeah, it wasn't my scene.
Blind Pig Pub was one I remember hating.
Oh, we had another friend who liked going there. Yeah, that was not. I don't remember that dude's name.
That's not important.
Justin? Yeah, I'm just trying to.
Just guessing at a name no one's ever going to know.
Gus was saying friends, and I had friends in air quotes in my head. I don't remember being too crazy about them.
We're getting on towards the end. But,
are we?
I mean, we've been doing this for about 50 minutes.
Have we?
This has been a ping-pongy episode.
But, like, that's the fun of... The other episodes have been like way more focused, where it's like, here's a story from this specific spot. I feel like this specific spot led us in so many different directions because it just got really tangential, right? Yeah. Like, it was the cemetery, and that started talking. Like, we got to, like, jerk fries and stuff. Like, we went all over the place.
We haven't even mentioned the house across the street with the giant bear skull hanging from...
I've never noticed that before.
And you never notice how they've got, like, a body form on top of that post in their front yard?
What the fuck?
It's like that going circling back to what we talked about earlier, like the vestiges of like the counterculture that used to used to see stuff like that a lot more often.
That thing used to be on that body form, didn't it? Like, wasn't it on top? Kind of like how I feel like it was kind of like their version of how like almost lampooning how Hyde Park Grill has the giant fork with shit on top of it,
yeah.
Like a turkey during Thanksgiving. But it's been hanging there on the
front
porch
for a long time,
many years. Yeah.
I wanted to get to a couple of guesses for the name.
Oh
okay.
Sure. So M. Pizka says Anma, another time around, the M being in the middle of time.
Oh, that's interesting.
No. Another meaningless autobiography.
Guys,
a lot of these guesses have another as the first one. I think that's pretty prevalent. Antidote to my anxiety. that's a good guess. Austin, not my Austin, is a really prevalent guess. So if you think that that's the name of the podcast, you don't have to send that anymore.
Yeah, that's not it. I see that one a lot.
Yeah. An embarrassment to Austin, the M being the second letter in embarrassment.
I like the direction these people are going in.
Somebody had tweeted, and Gus actually replied, and said, hey, is Anma's title multilingual? I had made a guess of Austin in Mucho Adventures, so I'm just curious. And Gus said, good question, English only.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I like that. I really like that a lot.
Do you dream in Spanish still?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Just random?
Yeah, and it's funny how it works. Like, sometimes it'll be all in Spanish, but then sometimes, I don't know if, like, when I'm super deep asleep, if the Spanish part of my brain doesn't want to wake up. But, like, I had a dream the other night that was supposed to be in Spanish, but, like, this person who's talking to me, it's like, what? No, that's all gibberish. What? That, like, that doesn't make any sense. And then, like, the dream changes where it's like, oh, shit, he's on to us.
Jeff, do you have a guess for the name of the podcast that you're currently on?
How about And My Axe?
Oh.
That was a pretty good guess.
That on the, on I love that. On the
good
spot.
Job. A little improv. Yeah, it's good. I have some notes, but that's pretty good. You did a good job. Is that the title?
No, that's shockingly, it's not.
Anything More Always.
No. Good guess. I will say at the end of the last episode that was before this one, was that episode, whatever, the one we did at Thunderbird, yep. I said, and an Anma to you at the end.
Uh-huh.
And I saw at least one person say, I think Gus is trying to give us a clue with that. No. That was just gibberish. That's nothing. I like that people are getting into it. Like, there's an alternate reality game or something going on. No. Oh, do you want to rate the coffee or anything before we go?
Oh, 10. I've always liked our coffee here.
Why is that so funny? Eric loves it.
It's like the sixth episode. It's just a cup of coffee. 10.
It's coffee?
Yeah, it's literally perfect. All right, we'll see you next time.
Coffee's a 10, 6, or 1 to me.
Okay, 8 or 9. Pretty good. Really good.
Yeah,
I like this place.
It's good. It's a good cup of coffee that gets cold fast.
I will say, my one complaint is, I heard of this is the smallest Americano I've got out of all the places we've been to, but it's not like it's pricey or anything.
It's fine. It's a 7 or an 8. I mean, I think it's a fine cup of coffee. I love 10. The idea of being this early and just a place that we go to and it's just a 10. There's no like, ooh, we're going to like compare stuff. No, this one's perfect.
No notes.
Yeah.
Send it.
I think that does it.
All right.
You can follow us at Anma Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I'm sure we'll post more there eventually when I have more time. You can take guesses at the name still. Just tweet
Please
at
do.
Us. Let us know what you think.
I read all of them. Yeah. If I find one anywhere that's correct, I'm gonna bring it. I'll let you know.
That's pretty exciting.
I kind of hope we never solve it.
You know, I think that we're getting really close to never solving it.
Yeah.
Also feel like we should talk about how this podcast is going to be kind of like an 8 episodes on, 2 episodes off kind of a thing. Yeah? We're going to do a little bit. Seasonality is kind of a weird word for it because we're not really doing seasons. It's just like we'll do 8 episodes and then 2 weeks we'll do like some supplementary content. Just some stuff that's like smaller pieces because we don't want to leave you in the lurch. And then we'll come back for 8 more and then...
We don't want you to forget about us in those 2 weeks.
Yeah. Because that's the way podcasts work is you stop listening for 1 week and then you forget and you're like, I don't feel like catching up. And then here we are without you. And that's not good.
Has that razor guard been here the whole time?
And it has little hairs in it.
I just noticed it.
Yeah. So...
Let's get out of here.
You really want the answer to that question?
Because it might be like...
Yeah. Let's go. All right. Thanks for listening.